الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعاشروهن بالمعروف، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يغلبن كريم ويغلبهن لئيم، فأحب أن أكون كريما مغلوبا، ولا أحب أن أكون لئيما غالبا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders, brothers and our sisters who are listening and receive us. On this particular Jum'ah, I have been informed that a nikah will be taking place after the Jum'ah bayan. Therefore, it is appropriate that the discussion be centered around the topic of nikah and marriage. For those who are married, then the advices will be relevant for the nikah parties, so it is absolutely appropriate. And for those youth and youngsters who are not married, then we listen with the intention that inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the tawfiq to get married, then we make the intention of making amal on the advices that are rendered. Respected elders and brothers, this institution of nikah, it is a great ni'mah and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has in fact encouraged his ummah to get married in order to increase the ummah, in order to increase the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Together with that, the amongst the many benefits of nikah and marriage is that it perfects and it completes a person's iman. The gist of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person should get married to complete his iman. فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي نِصْفِ الْبَاقِي. And thereafter he should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the remaining half. So the nikah has got that potential to protect a person, to perfect a person, to bring that sort of moderation in a person's life, in the sense that the person has to understand and fulfill the right of another person. So alhamdulillah, nikah is a wonderful ibadah. It is an enjoyable ibadah. But every single title and every single privilege comes with a corresponding set of responsibilities. Our late Hazrat Maulana Sadat Sahab Rahmatullah used to always say that if the boy gets married and after 1 week the wife says that we need some bread, milk, or I need this or I need that in the house, and if the husband says that when I got married to you, so I didn't hear anything about getting milk and bread and all of those things. I just signed that piece of paper. On that piece of paper, there was no terms and conditions. So the Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that it is understood that the moment the person signs that or utters those words, Nakahtuha or Qabiltuha, that I have now accepted this woman in my marriage, then automatically those responsibilities now fall on the person's shoulders, whether he likes it or he doesn't like it. So it comes with a tremendous amount of responsibilities. And we do know, respected elders and brothers, that in this world we have come, it is a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be testing us. A person has got two rights that are upon him, huququllah and huququl ibad. The rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the individual, and the rights of the fellow human beings that one interacts with. And when a person gets married, then a person interacts mostly with his wife. Hence, there are tremendous amount of responsibilities that now fall upon him. And there are tremendous amount of rights that he needs to fulfill. That is why they say a person can be gauged, and his temperament and his mizaj can be gauged by the wife. That if you want to find out what is the nature of a person, what is the mizaj of a person, what is the temperament of a person, go and ask his wife. Because in the masjid, mashallah, the person can be Bayezid Bustami and Junaid Baghdadi of the time, and mashallah, very gentle and very humble. But yet when he walks in the home, then he walks in the home like a military commander. He's waiting for to launch one missile, or launch some abusive languages to the wife. So now though in the masjid he appears to be very, very meek and very humble and very gentle and very considerate, but yet in the home there's a total different image. But that's the true image of the person. That is his real character. Because that's the person he's interacting with daily. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, together with fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is extremely essential for us to learn the rights and the responsibilities that are upon us in terms of our wives. Now very often a person says, but Maulana, what about the women folk? Alhamdulillah, the audience here, by and large, we are men here. Perhaps there are a few women who are listening. But by and large, there are men are here. If the audience were women folk, then obviously the talk will be more centered and directed to them. And we have to remember one thing, that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to question us that, did your wife fulfill your rights? Did your student fulfill your rights? As an ustad, did your students fulfill your rights? But Allah ta'ala will ask you that you as the ustad and you as the husband and you as the employer, did you fulfill your rights? I will deal with that person separately. But you need to answer whether you fulfill the rights or not. And therefore we are not going to be questioned whether our wives fulfilled our rights or not. But what we are going to be questioned, that you as the husband, did you fulfill your duties and did you fulfill your rights? Just before the Jummah, coming for the Jummah program, I received a phone call. And many ulama ikram received similar calls. The person now wants to take on a second wife. He wants to take on a lot of shock now, he wants to take on a second wife. His current wife has now already delivered three or four children to him. So now he wants to take on the second wife. And respected elders and brothers, this is becoming more and more common. We are not saying that it is not permissible to take the wife, but we need to understand that there are tremendous amount of responsibilities. The question that one has to ask oneself is that, am I fulfilling the right of my existing wife in the first place? Or am I thinking with my desires and my emotions? And then the person, how often we hear, the person dived into that situation, and then he realizes that, you know, I can't handle this any longer. It has become too much. And now he's looking for some exit or some escape route. And then there's only regret and remorse, and sometimes the families are shattered, the families are devastated. That existing wife who was fulfilling his rights, and she was the one who was prepared to do everything for him. There was a case in Pakistan where the person got married to this woman, and she served him for years and years, and she delivered multiple children to him. She became old. So in that old age, now when she was, so to say, the looks were not there, and mainly because she had to work so hard for him, now he decides to divorce her, and he took on one new young wife. And then what happened? That woman was kicked out into the streets. She turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She says, Ya Allah, there is no one for me besides you now. You are the only witness to what has happened to me. What was the condition of this person? Suddenly he became very, very ill. He became bedridden. That very woman now he got married to, that young wife, she wasn't prepared to sit now and clean him on the bed. She packed the bags and disappeared. It is mentioned that this person died all alone in the hospital. There was no one even to come and see him. So we must understand that these women folk have tremendous rights upon us. And remember, those of us who are men, those of us who have daughters, many ulama and many people who are social workers and working in the community will tell you that it's just an experience. That person who abuses his wife, that person who generally abuses his wife, You will very often notice that when his daughter gets married, or one of his daughters gets married, Allah Ta'ala makes it haunt him again. Now his very daughter, she now faces and endures, has to go through that abuse. Now as the father, he becomes very, very angry. How dare this son-in-law of mine abuse my daughter? I show him and I... But then the question you have to ask the person, that your wife, isn't she the daughter of somebody else? Isn't she somebody else's daughter? Just as you do not like that your daughter go through that trial and that tribulation, you become so sensitive and upset and frustrated and angry. Isn't your wife the daughter of someone else? And perhaps her father may have passed away, but isn't she the bandi and the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Isn't she the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One great alim, you have often heard his name as a Shah, King Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahmatullahi alayh, is to say the person is abusing the wife, but suddenly the wife's father, this person's father-in-law, if he is a military commander and a heavyweight boxer, if he suddenly has to appear in the room, now suddenly you will see this person will say, no, I was just rehearsing and just spending my frustration. You know, your daughter is double paise hai. Now you earn all the praises on that very girl. So Hazrat used to say that you fear a military commander, you fear a heavyweight boxer, but you do not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't she the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So therefore, respected elders and brothers, these women folk, they have made great sacrifices. She has left the comfort of her home. She has left the caring hand of her father. She has come out of her home. She has sacrificed everything to come into a strange home. She has to now adapt to a completely new environment. We as husbands need to appreciate this. There is an incident that took place, one of the close khadims of Hazrat Moinus Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi, he mentioned it to me directly. And the discussion was just taking place of how Hazrat Rahmatullahi is to make the islah of his murids, of those who are close to him. And there were many people who were, mashallah, used to make khidmat of Hazrat Moinus Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi. Here, mashallah, you have Mufti Zubair Sahib, Brother Ridwan Arbi Sahib making the khidmat of Hazrat. In the same way, there were many people who would make the khidmat of Hazrat Moinus Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi. So this one particular individual, he mentioned that it was the Zuhr Salah, they went for the Zuhr Salah. And after the Zuhr Salah, Hazrat Moinus Sahib Rahmatullahi said that, listen, you know, I have a lot of emails that I need to answer, and so take me immediately to the madrasa, and you go at home and have your lunch, and you come back and you pick me up thereafter. So this khadim went and dropped us at the madrasa, and he mentioned to me, he said, now he went home, it's lunch time, so he walked into the house. So now when he walked into the house, he immediately asked the wife, where's the lunch? So she said, no, I got a bit busy, I need to start preparing it now. In other words, she had not prepared the lunch was not ready. So he became very upset. He became very, very angry. So in that fit of rage, he walked into the kitchen, took a glass of water, he drank the water, and then he banged the glass on the table in his anger. In the process, the entire glass broke. And then he walked out. So mashallah, this wife, she also had a ta'alluq with his minus son. So she picked up the phone, and she lodged a complaint. So he mentioned to me that when he now went back to the madrasa, he walked in, Hazrat Moinus Sahib Rahmatullahi says, now listen to me very carefully. You get out of the madrasa. You don't ever pick me up again. I don't want to see you ever again in the madrasa. Until and unless you do not go to your wife and get a letter of apology with her signature on it, I will then phone the wife and verify whether it is really her signature or not. Now this is the thing. And these are the things that we do not hear from our mashayikh. First-hand experiences, how angry they would become when a person would give vent to his anger in that manner. It's an incident that we have heard, it's recorded in many of the kitabs, of a person who walked into the home and the wife had prepared that food and it was extremely salty. And so this person, despite the food being excessively salty, this husband tolerated that food. And he thought to himself that, you know, shame, she's prepared the food, she's stood so long. Perhaps, you know, sometimes the baby is crying on the one side, this is happening on that side, this is... And she may have made a mistake. So he kept quiet and he ate the food in that manner. It is mentioned when this person passed away, somebody saw in a dream and inquired from him, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with you? So he says that on that one occasion when the food was salty, I tolerated it. Allah ta'ala says that in the same way you have made many, many mistakes. You have committed many, many errors. But you overlooked that weakness of my servant and you forgave that food that was salty. Today I am overlooking your faults and entering into Jannah. So respected elders and brothers, our wives, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the best amongst you is the person who is best to his wives. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set that example. He said that from amongst all of you, I am the one who is best to my wife. To such an extent that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned in some couplets of poetry, she said, Lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsun. Lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsun. She says that we have got a sun and the horizon has also got a sun. The sun of the horizon rises every morning after the fajr and our sun rises when my Nabi Kareem Sasam enters the home. In other words, when my Nabi Kareem Sasam would enter the home, the wife would look forward to the husband entering the home. I have to ask myself the question, and each and every one of us have to ask ourselves the question, that is this our condition? That our women folk, do they look forward to us that when we come home, I'll have somebody that I can talk to? Or is it that we are now so engrossed in our cyber activity and in our chat groups, we are speaking to this one and that one, giving advice to that one. And then what happens? The wife has got nobody to talk to. And then after that, when she's chatting to this one and that one, now you're becoming very upset. Now who are you talking to? If she wants to speak to us, we are not there to speak to her, then what do we expect? She's also a human being. So therefore, we need to build our homes and we need to make those homes Jannat on earth. That our wives should look forward to us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a beautiful example. He says that the nature of woman is such, Allah Ta'ala has made them such, that the nature of woman is such that a person who is noble, a person who has got good akhlaq and good character, then you will find that the woman folk will be able to dominate this person. They'll have a level of control over this person. And a person who is base and a person who is low, then you will find that he'll have total control over the woman folk. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "For Uhibbu," that I prefer being a noble person, though the woman folk may have control over me. I do not want to be a base and a low person and claim that I have total control over them. So we need to understand that Allah Ta'ala has made and Allah Ta'ala has given us this great blessing of these women in our lives. They are a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are a means of protecting us from sins and from haram. Those of us who are married, we need to realize that this is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The thing is, respected elders and brothers, if we are not going to learn to lower our gazes, if we are not going to learn to lower our gazes, then we are going to find that as beautiful as our wives may be, we will still not find satisfaction. We still will not find satisfaction. As النظر سهم من سهم إبليس من سهام إبليس مسموم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم said that this lustful glance is a poisonous arrow from the poisonous arrows of shaitan. You find the person has got a beautiful wife. There was a particular case we had in the madrasa, one of the parents, many cases of this nature. MashaAllah, apparently the wife had wonderful akhlaq, she had the beauty too. But this person did not control himself, fell in love with the secretary, got married to her. And then this wife who was ready to make his khidmat, eventually he divorced her. Now look at the situation. But where did it start? It started with that not controlling the gaze. So therefore we need to understand that we in the workplace, the women folk that are there, shaitan is very, very shrewd. Shaitan is very shrewd. He'll make you focus on the cheeks of that woman and forget everything else. Or he'll make you focus on the teeth of that woman, forget everything else. At that time the person should understand that Allah is watching me. That Allah is watching me. Why should I give my heart to this temporary beauty? This temporary beauty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me a halal wife. There may be some things, there may be certain things in that woman that I may not like. But let me learn to tolerate it. Let me learn to overlook it. And there may be some khair in that. There may be some goodness in that. In that particular habit of hers that you do not like. There may be some goodness in that. Perhaps it is teaching you a level of tolerance. The person sometimes very sensitive. The one person came to complain to the Maulana, I can't handle it with my wife. You know, the toothpaste. And now when she presses the toothpaste from the front, on the top, I get very, very frustrated. I want that the toothpaste must be pressed from the bottom. Now that became a contentious issue in that marriage. So mashallah, the Maulana said, I got the best solution. Do me a favor. You buy yourself a separate toothpaste, give your wife her toothpaste, let her press it how she wants to, and then you handle your toothpaste in this manner. Sometimes the people have become so sensitive, cup must be put this way, the spoon must be on that side. And yet if it is our daughter and she goes into another home, and if she's treated like that, you say, why are these people so petty? Why are they so petty? So again, as we mentioned in the introduction of our bayan, remember, that just as we want our daughters to be treated, that our daughter, that sometimes you find a man, very often Allah has made it such, that when a person is blessed with daughters, then you find that Allah Ta'ala's system is such that Allah Ta'ala puts that extra love in the heart of the father for that daughter, because Allah Ta'ala has made it such that she needs to be cared for. Allah Ta'ala's system is such. So you find generally that the father has a special bond with his daughter. And now when she gets married, his heart is torn, there's a portion of his heart that is torn. And now if she has to come back and say that this is what my husband did to me, and this is how he's talking to me, now see how angry that husband, that father becomes. So we need to remind ourselves that our wives are also the daughters of someone else. Just as we would like our daughters to be treated, let us treat our wives in that manner. And then, respected elders and brothers, I will end on the beautiful advice and nasihat of our latest Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And this is the bayan in itself. He used to say, do not go by the book of my rights. Very often the person says, well, Maulana, she's not fulfilling my rights. She's not doing this for me. She's not doing that for me. He says, do not go by the book of my rights. And similarly, the wives too. The wife will say, well, this is not my right, so I do not need to do it. Husband, well, this is not my right, I do not need to do it. As the Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, go by the book of love, ihsan, and khidmat. Go the extra mile. And then the husband will show love to the wife. Then the wife will say, look at this husband of mine. On this particular note, our late Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah used to like milkshake, a lime flavor. And Appa, on the other hand, used to like the strawberry flavor. So on one occasion, they were only buying, the Khadim was told to buy just one milkshake, and Appa and Hazrat was going to share it. It was a larger milkshake. So Hazrat Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah says, no, no, make sure you buy the strawberry flavor. He said, Hazrat, you like the lime? He says, no, no. Appa likes the strawberry. We'll buy the strawberry. I will drink half. So he was, look, the willingness, it's a small thing. But he was willing to sacrifice his own desire. He's willing to sacrifice his own preferences to please the wife. These were the teachings of our Kabirin. This was the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the famous hadith of Laylatul Bara'ah, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up in that portion of the night, extremely late. And he woke up silently. He opened the door silently. He wore his shoes silently. Ulama Kiram explained that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not want to disrupt the sleep of his wife. He could have said, I'm the Nabi of Allah. This is the night of ibadah. Everybody wake up and get up and make ibadah. But look at the akhlaq and look at the tolerance and look at the consideration of Rasulullah. And this is something that we need to implement in our lives. For the woman folk as well. Do not go by the book of my rights. Go by the book of love. Ihsan. Be kind to the husband. The husbands, be kind to the wife. When kindness becomes the order of action, then automatically the woman will be kind to the husband. The children will now start being kind and make khidmat for each other. That how I can serve my husband. And somebody, how the husband says to himself, how I can make the home more comfortable to the women folk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each and every one of us the tawfiq to become excellent husbands, to implement the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thereby making our homes jannat and heaven on earth. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the marriage that is about to take place, make it maqbool and mabroor, grant them happiness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all the youth out there who are looking for marriage partners, may Allah bless them with pious and compatible marriage partners. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah. The niqab, come forward.